Welcome to the Everton Fans Forum, a monthly podcast where we shall be communicating and expanding on last week's Fans Forum meeting, which was on Thursday, the 30th of July, which will be backed up by the minutes. It's me, Dave Witchley, who's today's host, and I'm joined today with the Fans Forum Chair, Jas Bal,
Hiya,
Steve
how you doing?
Ayling,
Hello.
and Mike Thomas. So, hello, lads. You're all well.
Yeah, very good.
Very well, thank you. All good here, finally back after an hectic day. Ready to have a chat off.
Ready to have a good natter. Well, we're at the end of the longest season in the club's history. And that said, the work doesn't stop there for us, does it, lads? And, we've been doing plenty in the lockdown and we'll be doing plenty during the break as well as we do. So there's plenty of topics to cover. It was a busy meeting last week, and we'll go into various matters that will obviously concern everyone listening today. It's only right, really, to end with what happened at the end of the season. Obviously, the restart wasn't everyone's cup of tea, it's fair to say. But we started off. It's fair to say that we fed a lot of information into the club about how we thought the stadium should look via fans' feedback. And then we went back after the first game, and Stevie, you presented to the club a few improvements, it's fair to say, and they were listened to, weren't they?
Yeah, it was nice that the club actually took on board what we fed back to them. We took some advice on the County Road Bobblers, their feedback. I got some feedback off the Ainslie Blues, John Fitzpatrick's gang, and just general feedback. We gave what we thought was the good points first, which was the flags, the national flags for the players, to give them a bit of a boost. Didn't seem to work, like. But no, it was good. I mean, and for the short amount of time that they had to prepare, and Christine and Rachel and Scott, did they listen to what we had to say? We asked for banners to be hung over the edge and to be more of a presence and more flags to be allowed inside the stadium, which they took on board. And yeah, it was nice to see that they actually, each game, there was something different added. The Al Razimo one was prominent, as were the Chicago ones, I mean, and the USA Toffees, which was nice to see as well. So fair play to them. Yeah, they listened and acted.
Think it's also nice that that there's some more banners created by the Gladys Street boys as well. So they did the ones with like the six sevens and legends, and I think the second to last home game, and that was sort of draped up the upper Gladys, whereas for the final game it was draped, but then unfortunately the wind picked up, so it had to get taken down pretty much just
Yeah,
before kickoff.
definitely. You could have ended up with poor Rachel ending up on Bramley Moor Dock there if she held on to that. So I can understand that. But it was a good, it's always positive to see, getting feedback from fans, isn't it? And then feed it into the club, and then they listen, and then you see the improvements, and the feedback was really good, wasn't it, as a result, the way the stadium looked in the end.
Yeah, I think early doors they didn't know whether the games were going to be at Goodison, did they? So the first couple of games they had very little time to prepare. So it was all about feeding back to them, wasn't it? And adding on what they could get together for that first game, really.
Yeah, right, Mike. So as a forum, we went to the GSAG, which was basically about approving the amended safety case for no fans being in attendance, and that didn't come through till a Wednesday. And then obviously we were playing, I think it might have even been the Thursday, sorry, and then we were
On the
playing
Sunday,
the
yeah.
derby that week, so it was very little time to do anything with that. But as you say, I think like some of the other points that got brought up, for example, a lot of people send the messages to the NHS and that, and they were on the big screens, but you couldn't always see them. So I know Steve mentioned that to Christine and the team and that, and then by the last few games, they were on the scrolling bar as well. So
On
it was good to see.
a slightly downside, but I think we were the only team that we've seen on TV without an NHS banner. Every other team in the league had one.
I think it was quite tough because. I mean, the way NHS banners dotted around, but I think the problem was no one really knew what was going to come across on the telly because you know, it was a bit thrown together, wasn't it? That, you know, the whole end of the season. So it was very difficult to plan, you know, whether you'd see the big screen, how often you would. And
but yeah, I wasn't sure at the big screen, Mike. I thought we could have, if we would have put one on the top of the top balcony,
yeah,
used the spare space up there, it would have. And that's the only, that was my only thing. I thought we were the only club that never actually made a banner with our club crest on it, thanking the NHS.
I'll tell you what I did like, though, Stevie, just on that point, obviously, you know, it'd be a terrible time for so many people. And it was real tearjerker, that video Everton put together, remembering all the people that we lost.
Yeah.
I thought that was a real good job as well. And, you know, it was real moving, really, to see, you know, how many lives have been lost and how many Blues have been affected by that. You know, the whole city has, the whole country, but, you know, all world. But that was nice, wasn't it?
Fabulous it was. Yeah, it was. And considering that, you know, like the way the fan services, the amount of time they had to do it, I mean, you know, they done a sterling job. I really think they did, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It was fast moving, wasn't it? So just moving on to the end of season, Mike, there was a bit of an update on that, wasn't there, to do with the digital side of things?
Yeah, so we obviously asked for, you know, a bit of an update on what the plans were for that, with whether there was a time scale for when the awards would be presented, and, you know, in sort of what fashion they would be presented, obviously with what's going on in the world at the moment and the fact that, you know, obviously the season performance wasn't what everyone was hoping for. And the club sort of, the club have been planning, you know, internally what they would prefer to do. But they came to us as well and just sort of asked what we thought, you know, the reception would be, what would be the best way to go about it. And I think we were all of a similar consensus, really, that it wouldn't be right to have any sort of major celebration from any, you know, as I mentioned, from the club's performance all the way to just the current situation with coronavirus and people losing jobs and it being a tough time generally. So we were erring on the side of, you know, it being just a review of the season, essentially, and awards being handed to players such as Player of the Season, Young Player of the Season, more for the continuity than anything, as a sort of historical marker of, you know, the season that's gone by. And obviously there's been seasons where, you know, through the 90s and stuff, where the performance on the pitch has been a lot worse and they're still giving out Player of the Season awards, but everything's sort of being compounded by the situation with coronavirus. So I think the plan is just to, you know, make a note of who the Player of the Season were. Obviously fans' voices can be heard and people who have improved through the year, shown some signs of positive performance. It would just be a mark to them to say, you know, even though it's possibly the best of a bad bunch this season, at least, you know, it's a marker of what has gone before.
I think you make some good points there, Mike. Yeah. I really get where you're coming from there.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of elements, like you say. There's, you know, the sensitivity side of things, because, you know, it's hard to celebrate anything at the moment, isn't it? And yeah. and also, you know, we've got to live by our motto as a club as well. You know, we want the very best, and sometimes when you see a mediocre season, but then at the same time, like you say, there's, you know, is you know, a statue of records as such, you know, so
yeah.
It could be more of a review, really, of the season.
Yeah, I think the club were very, very reluctant to sort of pass it off as being a big celebration of anyone's individual performance or a big celebration of the season. But yeah, at the same time, it's just, you know, it happens every season. So it's one of them. People have been voting, and to say that we're not going to have a Player of the Season would be probably over the top almost. But the club also did emphasise, which was important, I think, that they will make a point of celebrating the things that, you know, the club have done through the community and fans have done during this difficult time, just obviously to make everyone's life a little bit easier. So I think I think we'll be looking at something which is quite fan-oriented and, you know, celebrating the good things as opposed to the pretty lacklustre football that we've seen this season.
That's a great segue, that, Mike, because it's there's sort of two bits that I want to take up on. That one was back in February when the club first mentioned to us about a digital-only Dixies. We pushed quite strong on getting some sort of fan representation there. And the club have listened to that, so I believe the messages that are going to accompany the three awards that you mentioned are going to be recorded by fans. So that's sort of one good piece that there is going to be some sort of fan representation there. And the other one as well that you mentioned about the sort of the appreciation for sort of NHS and key workers. One thing that we helped to share out was the recent request for people who are either working in the NHS or key workers to send sorts of pictures of themselves in. I believe there's going to be some sort of montage as well, which is going to sort of thank them on behalf of Evertonians and the club as well as part of the sort of the end of season review.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fantastic, won't it? And I think the other flip side of it as well, we do have fans that are in isolation and you know, watching the football. My nan, for starters, I won't mention what team she supports in Liverpool, but you know, football for her was basically kept her going during isolation. She was vulnerable. She, you know, she couldn't really see anyone. And, you know, there's plenty of Blues that would have been in that situation. And having content on the telly, Everton-related content, has kept a lot of people going as well. So there's that side of things, isn't it? Helping the people that are more vulnerable and that are isolating. And Everton might be the shining star, and, you know, in the sky as such.
Yeah, there's so much to celebrate about what the club have done over the past, you know, few months and the past season. It's just, unfortunately, not a lot of it has been on the pitch. But at the same time, it wouldn't make sense to completely write the season off as pretending it didn't happen, because it just, you know, as you say, it keeps a lot of people going. It is important. So it is important to celebrate what we do.
What we've got to remember is, you know, Everton Football Club, it's not just a team. It's a religion. What's the word I'm looking for? It's people's.
It's like a family.
It's people's way of life. So, the way.
Sounds like a chain spot.
Yeah, I know. No, but the way they've reached, the club have reached out to the fans, and you know, especially with the food bank donations and things like that, it's been great. You know what I mean? Not furloughing the tea lady, you know, asking for furlough for the club staff and that. You know, I mean, it's just been, you know, fantastic. I think everyone, you know, more local teams should have took notice of the way Everton done it with class.
Yeah,
and I think that's one thing that everyone sort of recognises, isn't it? The other side of the house, if you like, Everton in the community, and that does some amazing work, and it's sort of it's uncontested, isn't it, within any other sort of local team, national team.
And obviously, we're always banging the drums for the fans that are doing fantastic work as well, and have done fantastic work in the lockdown. You know, constantly, you know, making the club aware of situations and representing the fans, which they've listened to as well. And you know, you can see the loyalty to Everton, because it kind of leads us nicely on to the season tickets uptake. Which Stevie, over to you, mate, on that one.
I think it's been a great. It just shows the fans' loyalty. I think we've got 98%, I think it is.
That's the one, mate.
Of an uptake on the season tickets for next season, and also pushing the season ticket deadline back during the times of, you know, financial hardship with everyone, not just things, has been a great thing, you know, the club have done.
No, it's exceptional, isn't it? Obviously, it's up by, you know, it was 97% and it's gone up again. And it's a hard time for a lot of fans, like you say. So, you know, the fact the club have listened again to what the fans' needs are, and they've pushed deadlines back, you know, that's been a real positive sign as well. You know, we've got, obviously, been talking to the club all the way through lockdown. Also, the wait list is up, isn't it? And continues to be quite strong there as well. So I think there's a couple
of changes there, Dave, as well. There's a couple of changes that the club are sort of investigating about the waiting list now as well. So at the moment, there's only sort of two tiers, but because there's so many people on there, they're looking at adding in additional tiers. So if you do attend a home match during the season, that'll sort of bolster your chances. probably in a similar way to the away credits work.
Yeah.
But in terms of sort of expectation management, there's going to be a delay until the waiting list, sort of the successful people on the waiting list that are told, and that's purely down to the fact that we don't know what format the next season is going to take. So until we know how many people can go and whatever else, I think the club are just waiting on that direction before we sort of increase the number of season ticket holders, because as you can probably imagine, there's going to be a majority of season ticket holders wishing that they can be there, even though that's realistically not going to be achievable.
I also think the way the club conducted themselves in the season ticket refunds as well was exceptional. You know, the communication, the letter from Denise Barrett-Baxendale was superb, and it was really heart-reaching. And then the way they conducted it and the payment was back in before you knew it. It was well done on Everton.
I mean, in terms of what you just said there, Jazz, just to expand on that, you opened that agenda item, the meeting before last, as an opening agenda item, didn't you? We were quite proactive on that to start looking at, you know, where it's safe to get back in and how that might look.
Yeah, definitely, mate. So, just I'm not sure if people listening are aware, but normally the agenda's firmed up a week before the meeting takes place. And as you say, so a week before the June meeting, we were already pushing for this and suggesting different options for the club to start looking into, so that we can sort of pre-plan for fans attending. You know what I mean? And that seems to be a little bit before sort of Twitter sort of grabbed the ball by the horns. So it is something that we've been proactively looking at. So hopefully we should get some sort of decent news. Some of the options that we did throw forward was whether they rotate seats, they do a sort of ballot system, including sort of family members with their bubbles, so that when they go, the class is sort of one, if you like, and then the surrounding seats are based off that. Whether away fans are going to be going, because if they're not, that potentially opens up the upper sort of bullens over towards the park end. So there's quite a few different sorts of avenues that we're suggesting to the club that no doubt they're thinking about themselves, but we have been highlighting as well.
Yeah, again, it's a nice piece of work, that, really, because we, like you say, you would grab the bull by the horns there back in June and kind of proactively address that. Now you're starting to see people mention it online, which is a good evidence, really, if you're acting in a proactive manner to make sure that the fans' interests are looked after. And, you know, obviously that conversation continues in the meeting last week, didn't it? And will continue up until we know more. Obviously, it's all speculation at present, isn't it? So, as soon as we get more firm details, the club are already advising us that they're working on it, and we'll carry on feeding that information into them.
Just to give you, there's been sort of a few figures mooted about between like 30% and 50% of sort of capacity, but it seems to be that the older the stadium, the lower end of that percentage you're looking at. Now that's mainly due to social distancing, separation on the concourses. But until those guidelines are given to Everton, then they can't sort of investigate how many people go. And it may be different percentages in different, like in the Upper Gladys, than it is in the park, for example. Now, also, it's until the Premier League, I suppose it is, give that guidance to the club, it's going to be a sort of bit of wet finger in the air on who will be going and or how many people will be.
I think one thing that people might have to bear in mind, especially with the way that it's going to come back, is there's going to have, you know, I think people are probably going to have to be quite open to the idea that even if they do have a season ticket, it's unlikely that they'll be sat in their seats, because obviously the amount of social distancing and things like that, there's every chance that, you know, although I'm sure the club will try to keep as many people as they can in the seats, there's going to be an element of, you know, just getting as many people into the ground as possible, because that's ultimately what the club will need to do and what people will want. So, you know, I think there's going to have to be a bit of open mind, and this isn't that when everyone goes back, that it's going to be a very different experience to what everyone's been used to, but it's just taking steps to get back to it, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, but it's going to be progress, isn't it? Because it's obviously we'd all like to be at the ground, so at least having a few people in there would be better than having.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are missing the community, the family, you know, the whole side of going to the game. So once it's safe, you know, I think a lot of people will just be glad to be back there with one another. You know, that was one piece of work that we've been quite proactive on. Obviously, from the reactive side of things, obviously, as soon as we've seen a few issues appear about the retail side of things, obviously, we've got Hummel now. Jazz, you're on the retail group, aren't you? I think it's been busy with engagement, hasn't it, on that side of things at the moment?
Yeah, it's been massive. And again, this was so we actually had a retail meeting immediately prior to the main fans forum meeting. So the agenda for that again was set early, even though there were a few more sort of added to it at sort of short notice. Now, sort of just a bit of advice for people first. If they have got any issues with the kits, that if they're going to get in touch via Twitter, at Everton Direct is the sort of the handle to go to with any issues. Now the club sort of gave us a bit of information about how many items they've received complaints about, and to be honest, it wasn't many. Now, obviously on Twitter had exploded, didn't it? You know what I mean, with lots of pictures, whether that was the same one getting tweeted or retweeted, etc. But ultimately, there's tens of thousands of sales. It was a record year for the home shirt and all the all the sort of the training kit that accompanies that as well. But obviously, very minimal issues have been taken up with Everton themselves, and all the ones that they had been aware of have been dealt with. And we've got a few of the sort of stats here. So overall, it was like 0.06% of issues that they've had the sort of complaints with. 0.5% of them were about the white jacket. 0.1% about match day training tops. And 0.2% were about the pink training tops. And I mean, so they're like tiny figures considering it was sort of record-breaking sales. But what I would like to sort of advise anyone who has had issues, please do direct them straight to the club, because otherwise you'll... That the club might not be tracking that there are additional issues out there.
Definitely.
And also, sorry, as well, the other piece on that was that the policy at the moment is that they won't change personalised items. Now, obviously, if that's going to be sort of somebody having their own name on it, that's pretty obvious, I would have thought. But if people are getting sort of squad numbers and that, obviously nothing's being firmed up in terms of next season's squad numbers. So currently, as it stands, there won't be changed any personalised items either.
I think one thing that needs to be communicated out there, though, Jazz, is that the sizes are very small.
Yeah, it's certainly got. So we've mentioned that as well. We're being told that when the sort of next phase is getting released, that there's going to be a lot more focus on checking the size guides. Now, obviously, I'm probably the worst culprit for it. I will base it based on what I've previously got. I didn't really think of the size difference between Umbro and Hummel, for example. But I guarantee you, before I buy anything else, I'll be checking the size guide on the website, or physically going into the shop and seeing what size is best for me. Now, obviously, that's not available for everyone, but we're being assured that will be a lot more sort of prominent when the next sort of lot of kickers go.
One of my personal experiences was the Umbro white medium, youth medium, was bigger than the Hummel youth large. So there was just no way. It was actually quite a lot smaller, you know.
And is that the top you're putting on as well? Is that the top you're putting on, Steve, on a Saturday?
No, this is No, hang on. This is the top that the virus shrunk on me. It's funny, this virus, it shrinks all your...
Wait, you're an athlete, I wouldn't expect anything less.
Exactly. So
there was also a mention about, obviously, there's been a lot of chatter about the, you know, if we should have a sleeve sponsor, then, you know, obviously that at the moment we haven't. How will that affect the kits that have been sold already?
So we mentioned that as well, and we were sort of cited the example of Angry Birds, where that came in sort of after the kit had been released. For Angry Birds, apparently it was a case of if you could take it to the store, it could be retrospectively printed on, but there wasn't any sort of mail order option for that. I believe that will probably be the same process now. But the one sort of extra bit of information we were given was that it's very, very unlikely that the shirt sleeve sponsor will be announced before the second kit is released.
Right, okay. I think a lot of people will be asking that, won't they, once it comes out. So it's good to see that issue's already been looked at and highlighted, if it should arise. Obviously, one element that we're always looking on, and the lads on the international scene are always looking on, is, you know, from an international perspective, I think the likes of availability of goods, visibility, and also access for the likes of the merchandise, I think that's all been raised as well, hasn't it? And it's in the spotlight.
Yeah, so one of the sort of bits of advice we were given from the club rep was if we present the club with a list of sort of chain of stores, for example, they will investigate that on what the likelihood is of having Everton stuff within, I don't know if it's in America, within Walmart or Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. You know what I mean? Certainly that there are issues with not being visible in shops in Ireland, for example. So we're sort of looking at what sort of chains or individual shops there's potential to sort of get some traffic in there as well. So we're looking at that as sort of in conjunction with the retail group and the international group to try and sort of throw some ideas towards the club of shops that we would like to see the kit in.
Fantastic. And like you said earlier on, I think this, obviously, you pre-plan to meet with them prior to all these issues. And then, you know, it's something that you've been in continual communication to be proactive on. And obviously, since these issues, you've had the spotlight on them. They're being raised. The communication's been there between the club and then in turn Hummel and Fanatic. So, it's fair to say that there's been plenty going on, hasn't there?
Yeah, definitely. It's well, as I can imagine, it's one of the busy groups at the moment, especially sort of come sort of kit release.
Fantastic. And just obviously to reiterate, any issues, obviously get them out there and they can be resolved if there are. So hopefully, like I said, I bought a Hummel kit myself, and I've got to say I am made up with it. The quality is. I particularly like the pink training one myself. So I'm looking forward to see what the next instalments are for the second and third. Just moving on, thanks for that, Jazz. Just moving on to one of our legends. He's obviously one of our own, has sadly had to retire, chose to retire, probably didn't have to retire, probably because it went on for a season 2 or 10. But you know, he has retired. We had some natter over that as well, didn't we, Mike? With the club.
Yeah, it's still too soon to speak about it, to be fair. I think I'll be expecting them there next season. But so we've obviously discussed arrangements for just sort of giving them a send off and, you know, some way of expressing what the fans' sort of gratitude for him over the last decade and longer. And it's just a difficult situation because obviously there would be no point in having a behind closed doors testimonial or a testimonial where you're restricted in terms of the amount of fans you can have there. And also I think there's from the people close to Leighton that know him, there's a general feeling that, you know, he'd be quite reluctant to have the spotlight on him anyway, and it was quite a convenient time to shuffle off into the shadows without too much of a fanfare. But essentially the club understand the fans' desire to sort of show their appreciation, and they are willing, you know, to do whatever seems appropriate at the time. And it's going to be led basically by what Baines wants at the end of the day. So I think that, you know, he's taking some time at the moment to just spend with his family and presumably just adapt to life after playing football, whether he comes back in any capacity. Obviously, the club have been very vocal about the fact that there will be a role for him if he wants one. So, yeah, I think at the moment it's probably on ice until he is willing, you know, until he's made his mind up on what he wants to do. And, you know, the club are actively pursuing ways that he can have some sort of testimonial or we can show our appreciation for him in some way or another.
Fantastic. And yeah, I think obviously Go on, Steve.
No, they're just saying that there's a lot of good things that could come out of this, isn't he? I mean, if we're not fortunate enough to have a testimonial match for them, maybe you could start a Leighton Baines Foundation, which would, you know, people could contribute to in like a Just Given page or something like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, you might be able to, might be the Leighton Baines People's Place or something like that. Someone with a bit of legacy for him, you know.
He's got a couple of singles to release first, hasn't he, with Miles Kane. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he'd be headlined with the Arctic Monkeys before we know it. But there was also a mention, wasn't it, about I think a few fans have approached the forum, and also I think, well, we've received some on the bobble as well, but you know, the idea of a mural.
Yeah, so rightfully so, you know what I mean? A lot of fans are seeing a lot of the other teams' murals popping up in and around the city centre. And it's, you know what, we've obviously picked up on that. But again, that was one of the agenda items that was on the last meeting. And it's basically, if anybody does have any ideas, bring them to us, you know what I mean? There's so much opportunity with a club of first, you know what I mean? We could do something for Bainesy. It'd obviously be easier if we were winning trophies as well to get a sort of lasting sort of mural out there. But it's certainly something that we're suggesting to the club, and the club are happy to sort of consider and support. Disregard the sort of location for now, but in terms of ideas and the likes, yeah, just get them sent across to us. In fact, it's our events group, because they're obviously, they can't really run physical events at the moment. They're taking that on as a project as well. So if there is any ideas or artists who want to get involved, I'm just conscious I don't want to sort of single any out, because there's a lot of great work going out there by Evertonians. But if you send it to events@evertonfansforum.com, that'll get to Anne-Marie and the team.
Fantastic. You know, I seen a picture of him the other day. I think it was this morning. Someone had papped him sitting in there, where, you know, in a town centre somewhere, yeah, where local, and he was sat on a bench in an Everton top, and they just thought, oh, so you trust him to be sat there in an Everton top as well. He looked like he was
one of our own, he is, definitely.
And I think we're all gutted. It's still a bit of an emotional time for a lot of us with Leighton. In fact, I can't even say his name anymore. I'm not upset. So just moving on to the Premier League fan survey findings, Jazz. There was obviously, this is an annual thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's so basically this took place between sort of October and early December. So probably during our worst patch of the season, sort of under Marco's reign. Now there's a sort of threshold on that of a couple of thousand sort of votes and et cetera to make it sort of meaningful. But then the sort of initial findings were released in, I think it's February now, it's going back a little while anyway. So we wanted to capture it on the agenda so that we could get an update in terms of what some of the scores were that weren't mentioned back in February, as well as some of the sort of areas that potentially got identified as areas for improvement. So I can just run through a few of them now for you. So a few of the scores that were equal to or higher than the Premier League average was sentiment, 69%, custodianship, 79%, communication, 65%, and I think the one that's no surprise to anyone would be the community, up at 94%. Now, certainly with sentiment and custodianship, we're getting above Premier League average during a sort of period where we weren't necessarily performing the best on the pitch, so that was sort of good to see. In terms of the four areas that were sort of highlighted for sort of areas for improvement or didn't fare as well as the other areas, two of them are sort of match day experience and children's facilities, which potentially could be sort of grouped into one. Maybe focusing on sort of there's also food and phone signal. So obviously, we got the initial findings back in February, but there's been a lot of changes since the survey took place. Certainly, in terms of food, prior to the pause in the season, there was halal options, vegan, vegetarian options. They all got brought on to the sort of the main catering within the stadium bowl. And then, obviously, since then, while we've been on sort of lockdown, it's now been announced that home baked are going to be running a stall within the fan zone. But that was something that we championed quite a lot, because a lot of fans were saying, let's get someone local in there. So that's a step change, which will hopefully see that area improve. And then the other one was phone signal. Now, good sense, it's an old stadium, you know what I mean? It's not really conducive to good phone signal, 3G, 4G. But going back probably about a year or so now, the club have been investigating this system called DAS, which basically, I think, is basically a signal booster for sort of 3G and 4G. Now, we've been hastening this throughout the year, and the plan was always that something would be in place for the beginning of next season. Obviously, due to access to the stadium itself during the last few months, we haven't got an update on that yet, but it's certainly sort of progress made towards one of the areas that we didn't fare so well in.
Fantastic. So I think, like anything, whenever we find these findings, we'll if the spotlight's not on it already, the spotlight's on it, and, you know, we'll work with Everton to improve it and the fans. It's good to see that some of them areas already, that, you know, we've kind of listened as a forum to what the fans are saying, and like you say, there's improvements already that can be seen in them, isn't there?
Yeah. I think a lot of the match day experience stuff, obviously the club are just as keen as everyone else, aren't they, to improve that, but no matter how hard we try or they try, I think it's essentially just the fact that Goodison wasn't made for anything other than getting people into a ground, you know, at the time. So I think there's a lot of things which they're taking on board for, you know, moving to Bramley Moor, which they can sort of influence more, especially in the design phase. But as far as Goodison goes, it's just there's a lot of practical considerations which make it impossible to really affect the way that people enjoy the game, really.
Yeah, you're totally right, mate. It's a dated stadium, unfortunately, yeah. Now, isn't it? Now we're doing the club are doing what they can. I think certainly the sort of makeup on the outside's gone down well over the last few years. Granted, the timeline, there's a few bits that potentially could get updated, but like this year also, wireless tills are brought in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sort of try and embrace the contactless sort of revolution that everyone's all over at the moment. So the club are working in the right direction. So I think they have to be commended on that. But as you say, a lot of these issues should naturally sort of disappear when Bramley Moor does happen.
Right, fantastic, lads. Well, that brings us to a natural close. I'll just go around the houses. Steve, anything more to add, mate?
No. May I just say, you know, it's been a disappointing season for us on the pitch, but, you know, I'm just, Evertonians out there, if you're listening, keep your chins up, wear your blue shirts as often as you can, and keep the faith.
Love it, mate. Love it. Over to you, Mike. Anything further?
I can't top that, I don't think, to be honest. So I'll just let you pass on to Jazz.
I'm following your lead as well, mate. I'm afterwards. Steve,
I didn't have a speech written like Steve.
Yeah, he's definitely. Have you wrote that yourself, Steve? Oh, no.
From the heart.
Fantastic. Any issues, like we said earlier, contact us, we'll raise them, we'll keep pressing them, we'll carry on being the voice, we'll keep on moving forwards. So with these podcasts, we vowed to finish them all with the fans forum, as the fans forum, with the fans voice. So today the song that we're coming out with is a real heartwarmer. It's one of them heartwarming stories that come from lockdown. One of our own, Lillian McDonald's, True Blue, and she's going to take us out with a classic Everton rendition. So thank you for listening, and over to you, Lillian.
E-V-E-R-T and O and N. Now, if you didn't catch it well, I'll spell it you again. Give us an E-V-E-R-T and O and N. The greatest team in all the world is Gallant Everton.